You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, and by that I do actually mean happy Thursday, because the Kings won a game. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Sarah Avampato. I am the host of this show, and usually I'm a little meh to be here because the Kings have done nothing but disappoint us lately. But today, they actually did it. They pulled out a win over the Arizona Coyotes, not until they, like, embarrassed themselves first, but, you know, a win is a win. 2 points are 2 points. And so we're going to talk briefly about that win today, and then one brief check-in on some prospect activity, and then I'm joined by my usual eye in the sky, let's say, for Ontario Reign Games. Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks joins the show today because we are talking Reign and we are talking Gulls. Those two teams have faced off three times basically in the past week, so we are going to get together and break down that series and just sort of look at the performance of both of those teams. So that is coming up on today's show. We'll probably also talk about the Reign in tomorrow's show as well, because as usual, we sat down and talked for quite some time about what's going on with our minor league teams. Let's look first at the Kings and their win over the Coyotes last night. From the beginning of the game, things didn't look very good. The first goal of the game, scored by Lawson Crouse, is one that Jonathan Quick would definitely want back. I mean, every goalie wants every goal against them back. But on that play, Quick basically didn't get control of the puck after he made the first stop. It came back out, and ta-da, Coyotes score a goal. Later in that same period, we gave up a goal to Ilya Lyubushkin, who is a defenseman who scored his first goal in over 100 NHL games in his career. So that's a very Kings thing to do, is to allow someone who has not scored in quite some time to get their first career goal. So congratulations on that. But before the end of the first period, Jarrett Anderson Dolan gave us some hope by getting on the board. There was a great play from Cale Clegg to Trevor Moore behind the net. Carl Grundstrom was in front of the net screening the frankly enormous goalie Aiden Hill from the Coyotes. Grundstrom, it kind of looked like maybe he got a stick on it, but no, he was just providing the very big body and the screen, and Anderson Dolan was able to just chip the puck in, and guess what? Things aren't looking quite as dire as they did just a handful of minutes before that. The third period was all Kings, and the third period is what won it for the Kings. Adrian Kempe, Jeff Carter, Carl Grundstrom all got on the board to give the Kings a 4-3 win. Grundstrom with the game winner, his fifth goal of the season for the Kings. This was a game that definitely, like, by the end, middle maybe of the second period, I was like, maybe I'm going to go read a book. Maybe I'm going to go do something else. This game is not very inspiring. And the Kings decided to prove me wrong, to actually put together a pretty good effort and take advantage of mistakes that Arizona made and make opportunistic plays. And guess what happens when you do that? You win a game. And it was also a good performance from both Kempe and Carter, who are both players who we have seen flashes from them in spurts of activity this season, but that just have not been consistent enough at all. And so seeing both of them get on the board, Carter with the tying goal, was pretty exciting to see that. It was also a pretty clean game in terms of penalties. Kings took two. Arizona only took one in the first period. So there wasn't a lot of special teams time to kind of disrupt the flow of the game or anything. In the game, we had Tobias Bjornfoot was a scratch because he is still injured. Sean Durzi has been sort of the extra defenseman caught up from the Reign / taxi squad. So it's been nice to, even though he is not getting in a game, for him to be able to get to spend some time up in the NHL. I feel it's like a little bit of an incentive for him to continue growing and developing, and eventually maybe he'll be able to draw in to a game. Gabe Vilardi, of course, was also the other scratch, which has lots of people up in arms, frustrated. People have all sorts of opinions all over the places, but you know what? I think that there's nothing wrong with him being scratched, for him sitting for even a little while still. It doesn't mean that his career is over. It doesn't mean that he's being mishandled. It just means that sometimes a player needs a reset. And for Velarde, that is this moment. And like I said on the show the other day, the important thing is going to be when he gets back into the lineup, that he comes out with the right amount of energy, of fire, of playing like he knows he belongs here. And if we don't see that, then we have a concern on our hands. But right now, I think there's nothing wrong with him sitting out for a little bit, watching the game, seeing how he could contribute, seeing what role he could play. You know, how would he have handled this if he was on the ice? It's a learning experience. Scratching a young player is not the end of the world. Yes, I know there's an argument for the fact that McClellan hasn't necessarily scratched some of the older veteran players who maybe haven't been living up to expectations. But I think right now the situation as it is fine. I'm not concerned with Gabe Velarde sitting out for a little bit to sort of get his act together, let's say. One notable point from this game, Sean Walker led all players on the Kings with 7 shots on goal. Austin Strand only played 8 minutes. So I guess watch out for that as we proceed with the Kings on this road trip. I think Olimana will be drawing back in soon. He is practicing at least and taking regular rotations, so he should be ready to jump back up into the lineup. And so I presume that Austin Strand will be the one to sit, which of course means that Curtis McDermott, I guess, is still going to be in the lineup. Brendan Lemieux, might as well talk about him for a second, because the pregame show sure did a good job of pumping his tires the whole time and trying to tell us how great and awesome and feisty he was going to be. He had 3 hits, 1 shot on goal. I mean, I noticed him sometimes, but I imagine he's still getting his feet wet with the team. There was, you know, some post-whistle shenanigans. Obviously, it's way too early to tell what exactly he brings and how he's going to fit in, but he at least got his first game under his belt as a Los Angeles King. So overall, you know, I sure wish that the Kings wouldn't have gotten themselves in a hole in the first place, but there's not a whole lot you can do about that. The fact that they were able to come back from behind, I think they have not done very often this season, I think was pretty great. And hopefully they can maybe this time carry some of that winning attitude over to San Jose and maybe for once finally beat the stupid Sharks. The Kings, of course, do play tomorrow, Friday, against the Sharks in the first of 2 games in San Jose. We will talk a little bit more about the Sharks on tomorrow's show. Up next, we're going to talk prospects and college prospects in specific. That is coming up right after this. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, MLB, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, before we get to Rain Gull's time, we're going to look at some prospects. The prospect note that I wanted to mention is that the Frozen Four is tonight. The NCAA Men's Division I Hockey Championship goes off tonight and features 2 Kings prospects in the lineup. Tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern, we've got St. Cloud State versus Minnesota State. St. Cloud features Kings prospect goalie David Rinnick, who has been up and down for a up and down season of St. Cloud State. I've seen some Kings insiders suggest that he's not going to get a contract once he is done with his college career. But for now, he's a Kings prospect, and so we will root for him. Minnesota Duluth versus Massachusetts is also tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Both of these games are going to be on ESPN2. Minnesota Duluth, of course, features Brock Faber, the defenseman for the Kings prospect pool, who has done very well this season, has really emerged into being a player to keep an eye on in college hockey. I think a lot of people are realizing just why the Kings drafted him. No, he doesn't necessarily bring the offensive punch, but he has been just really steady for that Minnesota team. He has in 27 games, 12 points, one goal, and 11 assists. I think five of those assists were in the same game, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But Brock Faber, someone definitely to keep an eye on as he hopes to lead the University of Minnesota to another Frozen Four title. So those games are both tonight on ESPN2. You will want to keep an eye out to watch them, especially Brock Faber. He has been really highly regarded by a lot of people as a Kings prospect to watch. The championship is on Saturday, April 10th, going to be at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Tomorrow's show, we will check in and see what happened in those two games and see if any of our Kings players are going to be going on to fight for the championship on Saturday. So Frozen Four, keep an eye out for that because it could be some fun and we could get to see yet another Kings prospect raise the trophy following in the footsteps of Mikey Anderson, who won it back-to-back. Maybe we will have yet another one this season. So that is it for that. Now let's turn to the Ontario Reign with Jason Hernandez of Locked On Ducks and also Maya Informer of all things Reign related.
We're going to start from last Wednesday in Irvine, where the Ontario Reign and San Diego Gulls met for their first of three meetings. This one was not close. It was close for one period, and then San Diego decided they wanted to play hockey, where Ontario came out with a 2-1 lead on the heels of a Rasmus Kapari and Aiden Dudas couple of goals. And they were pretty close, too, but that was a rough game to start. My favorite thing about that, the Jacob Doty, Jamie Devan fight at the start. They were really going at it, weren't they?
Yeah, and those are two big guys who are used to, I'm sure that they have fought before, probably. I just assume at this point. But they, yeah, those are two guys who, if they're dropping the gloves, you're gonna get an interesting show while they sort themselves out.
Yeah. After that, it was all goals. I think this was the point where the goals woke up, and this fight actually helped San Diego because you had goals from, stop me if you want me to stop. Chase DeLeo scored his 8th. Sam Carrick scored his 10th on a power play. Andrew Agazino scored his 6th. Then Bryce Kinzop scored his 3rd of the season. And then Sam Carrick said, one wasn't enough, I want another one. So we got a 2nd one. Then Bryce Kinzop, he decided he wanted to get in on the action. That's 7 goals. 7 goals, goals. Making it a 7-2 final score. This really turned into no contest. And one thing that I'm going to point out on this particular game, the defense looked pretty awful on this game. I do not put this loss on Matt Vallalta. I put this loss kind of on, there's a couple defensemen, two of whom had a pretty bad game. Cole Holtz had a bad game, but oh, Cale Clegg. Oh, he missed some assignments that Wednesday. What do you recall about that game, about that blowout?
I mean, the big thing that stood out to me was, I mean, this was just like a penalty-filled bonanza for both of these teams. And the Reign had 6 chances on the power play. And do you know how many power play goals they got? The answer is 0.
Same as the Ducks. Yeah, 0.
Nothing. And, you know, the Reign have one of the worst power plays in the league. Right now they are 27th. They are only above Bakersfield. They have a 12.8% power play success rate. The Gulls are kind of middle of the pack. They're 18th right now, but, you know, anything is better than next to dead last. So, you know, aside from the defensive issues that the Reign had, and I'll talk more about Cale Clegg in a second, the just complete utter failure of special teams for the Reign, you know, I think really did not help them at all, especially given how much time they spent on the power play. And they also gave up a shorthanded goal to the Gulls. To add insult to injury, they allowed a shorthanded goal on one of their power plays. And Cale Clegg, I think, like you said, it was not a good game for him. He got an assist, like, great, cool. But for him, it was the same thing that I feel like I've seen from him as a prospect, like before he even turned pro, is just one game he looks great, and he's looked pretty good back up in the NHL in the last couple games he played with the Kings, but he will look great. And then the next game, he looks like he's never played hockey before. And so there's just like a really big lack of consistency from him that I'm just waiting to get shaken out of his game somehow. But yeah, that this game was not going to go on any highlight reels for him.
No, and I hate to call him out like this because they could be listening, you never know. But Cale Clegg had a miserable third period. And I remember writing this down where he missed this assignment. He missed this assignment. He missed assignments left and right. And at times it looked like he was skating kind of lazily, where he was not getting to the puck. He was not executing an active stick at all. He just had a really bad period. Probably one of the worst I've seen him play all season long. And I don't know, because I watch a lot of Rain games, obviously. But he just looked really bad. He looked like an ECHL player, Sarah.
It was not good. He was on the ice for 4 goals against in that game, which is not great. Not great, Bob.
Nope. And all 3 of those goals in the third period. I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Dorosky absolutely torched him. Potsy torched him, which led to the assist to Sam Carrick. I remember that one. And then he got torched again by Josh Mahura and Bryce Kindop. Like, he looked like he was kind of skating back in his heels, or he wasn't executing any fundamentals of defense. I'm like, what are you doing, Kel Klig?
Yeah. And like, that's the wild thing is if you take this game and then you look at his game last night against the Coyotes for the Kings, and he looked fine. Like, I didn't watch him in that game. And I mean, the game was a struggle for the Kings in general, but like, I didn't watch him and be like, oh, wow, that was what are you doing, bud? So it just the lack of consistency from game to game. I think, you know, if Kings fans are asking why isn't he in the NHL for every game and why does he keep kind of getting bounced around, that's why.
This is exactly why. The inconsistency is glaring with Kale Klig.
There is more coming up with Rain and Gull's talk with Jason Hernandez coming up right after this. First, though, let's talk about rockauto.com, because if you've got a car or if you've got a truck, any sort of vehicle that, you know, goes, chances are you have had to replace things in it. And when you need to replace things, sometimes the shopping experience is frustrating. What you need is out of stock, or you go to the store and you think everything is crazy overpriced. It's just not always a great experience. RockAuto.com fixes all of that by being a great, quick, easy place to shop for all of your car needs. It's really easy to find the parts for your specific car or truck. Their search function is great. You just put in the make, the model, the year of your car, and you can see all of the cool stuff they've got available. The best thing is prices are always reliably low no matter who you are. So if you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, or if you're like me and you're just overconfident, you're going to get the same low price on rockauto.com. So go do yourself a favor. Check it out right now at rockauto.com. Find the parts you need. Figure out what you need to do to jazz your car up and go and pick them up with rockauto.com. In the How Did You Hear About Us box, tell them that Locked On sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS League. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Next up, we're going to continue taking our look at the Rain and the Gulls and how they just sort of beat each other up over the past week.
This was a fun one to watch in person. And you and I did text kind of in that game. The Easter Sunday game, which, first off, I can't believe I worked on Easter Sunday. It's supposed to be a holy holiday. You know how many games there were on Easter Sunday? For the AHL? 2.
Was it just this one? Yeah.
2. And this was one of them.
Yep.
So guess where I was on Sunday?
Hey, hockey waits for no man.
I'm going to leave that alone. but this one was kind of a weird game. The boys rose up to the occasion. Ah, you see what I did there?
Hey. Hey.
This was a better game for Ontario, frankly, and where Kale Klig had a bad game, guess what? He didn't play. He didn't even play. He wasn't there. Why was Kale Klig not there, Sarah?
Was he in the NHL? Did he ever get called up?
He got called with the taxi squad.
Yeah.
And they decided, we don't want him to play right now. Just put him in the taxi squad, give him a day off, which... Yeah. Ended up being a good decision for a while because, oh my god, the Rain actually played a much better game. This one was not as penalty-filled except for, and I can't believe I saw this, the Simone Benoit-Brett Sutter fight. Where the hell did that come from?
Right? Anything can happen. I wonder when the last time... I feel like, you know, Brett Sutter is that guy sometimes, but I feel like, especially now that Boku Imama's on the team, Sutter hasn't exactly had to be that guy very often.
Right. And yet there it was. But I think Simone Benoit really started that one. And Benoit, after the fight, that sparked the goals because he was the one that tried to get the bench all riled up. Mm-hmm. So in the first, Jacob Perreault scored for the goals and Daniel Brickley scored for the Ontario Reign. That made it 1-1 after that period. So a couple of notes on this one. The Reign passing game at the start of the first and really the start of the second period was amazing. You had some great passes coming from Matt Luff, I think looked really good in this game. But I got to give some props, big time, to Alex Turcotte. This was one of his better games as an Ontario Reign player, despite the fact he got no points and only one shot. He seemed to be kind of everywhere on the ice that day. He was making the good pass. He was making the correct play, unfortunately, none of which resulted in goals. I mean, he got some great passes to Matt Luff in the second and third period, but Luff only wound up with an assist on this game and no goals. What can you say about Alex Turcotte on this particular game on Easter?
Well, this game, and I mean, just in general, it does feel like he has been playing. I mean, we talked about Cale Clegg and just not playing with consistency, and Alex Turcotte, I feel like, is the flip side of that, where it really feels like, you know, he's starting to put it together. He's starting to be able to play a consistent game from shift to shift and be involved in plays and, like you said, make plays and make important movements that don't end up necessarily getting him on the score sheet, but they're definitely things that, you know, a scout or the coaching staff or whoever is going to notice and is going to say, like, oh yeah, like he's getting it. So I've definitely been impressed with him from what I've seen with him in the recent Reign games, because, you know, we've talked about it before on both of our shows. The biggest thing for me was that he hasn't necessarily been a very consistent player, you know, through his brief college career and now through his time in the AHL. And if he's putting it all together now, and if he is learning how to make an impact, even if he's not showing up on the score sheet, like, watch out. Like he is right on track then with where I want him to be this season. But I was pleased with what I saw from him. I was glad to see Jacob Moverari get his first goal, his first professional North American goal after coming over from Sweden. He's been in and out of the lineup. He was injured for a while. He's had really bad games. There have been a few times where I've watched him and I'm like, oh no, what was that you did? But, you know, this wasn't a great game for the Reign because they lost, but they still scored four goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they scored on the power play, which was the first time in about 18 years that they scored on one. They only gave up one goal against on their penalty kill. So it was, while still a loss for the Reign, it was a better performance than the previous outing. And they also limited the Gulls to a pretty low amount of shots. You know, a lot of them still went in, which was bad. Sorry, Troy Grosnick. But, it was a step forward for the Reign in beating the Gulls, which has been sort of the white whale so far this season until ... something else we'll talk about later.
Yeah. So, going back to Troy Grosinek, I actually wrote this down, poor Troy, during this game and another game. So, Troy Grosinek, he did not look really effective in this game at all, because after that fight happened and after the Movar goal, Limoges scored his first pro goal. So, congrats to Alex Limoges from San Diego and Cody Curran again. But, really, going back to that Movar goal, I think that was all Quentin Byfield. Because Byfield did a really effective job of keeping the puck to himself, bouncing it off the boards. His puck control, I think, has been pretty damn good the past few weeks. So I will ask the million-dollar question right now. Do you think Quentin Byfield is ready or almost ready for the NHL?
I would say almost ready. I don't think that he is ready yet to be a night-in, night-out player. But he has been impressing me more and more with his play in the AHL. He has shown very timely plays. He scored a goal in, I'm pretty sure it's the next game we're going to talk about, where he just stole the puck in the offensive zone. And it wasn't this game. There was a game recently where he's been making a lot of really smart plays. He has been making his teammates better. He is showing up a lot on the score sheet in terms of assists and helping set up his teammates. I don't think he's ready to be a daily player, but I think that especially as the Kings, you know, listen, I've seen some people say that they saved their season, quote unquote, with that win over the Coyotes last night. But no, they are so far behind that fourth spot in the playoffs that you know, it's gone. Let's stop thinking about it. But as this season continues, and if players leave at the deadline, perhaps, I would not be opposed to pulling Quentin Byfield up and just seeing what he's got and seeing who he can push as well in the lineup. I've been really impressed with, you know, if we look at his game yesterday versus his first couple of games in the league, he is, you know, leaps and bounds better, more accustomed to the game and the way he's expected to play here. So he has been really, really getting a lot of attention for all of the right things in my book.
Yeah, I feel like he should be playing. And I think the game we're talking about was the game against Bakersfield's Condors on Tuesday night, where Quentin Byfield, he had a couple of terrific plays. Really, I'm impressed with Quentin Byfield's awareness. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with his speed. I feel like he should at least get 5 or 6 games up with the Kings this season. I mean, look at some of the players that went below him in the draft, and they've had plenty of time in the NHL. And hey, look at the 6th pick for the Ducks. Jamie Drysdale, he's already played 12 games for the Ducks. And look how well he's done in Anaheim adjusting to the pro game. And I feel like Quentin Byfield is there, but in a way, the Kings might be holding him back, and that sucks. That really sucks. But yeah, just to kind of go forward, this was a good back and forth, I thought. I mean, the Rain did tie up the game, and for a split second, I thought maybe, just maybe, the goals would be pushed back and they would lose that game. But then Hunter Drew happened exactly 14 seconds later, and boom. Yeah, that happened.
The air just goes right out whenever that goal happened. I was like, well, there we go.
Two other notes on this game, then we'll head to the break. Troy Grosinick. So late in the second period, there was a very good bit of puck movement from the San Diego goals. You had Keegan Lowe, who got it out to Cody Curran, and he passed it towards the net, but kind of went around the horn and hit the glass. Do you remember the puck hit the glass at an angle that it hit the Zamboni doors, came back right out in front? Troy Grosinick was expecting to play the puck behind the net, not knowing that the boards at TSC are not the best. And the puck ended up right in front of that. And Troy Grosinick made, I thought, one of the saves of the year where he got absolutely robbed. And if you go back and listen to the broadcast on Easter Sunday at that moment, late in the second period, you could probably hear myself and a few others up there going, whoa, like, what the crap was that?
Yeah, that was just a like very unfortunate circumstance.
Grosinick. But the funny thing about that game, and I hate to use the word the funny thing about that, do you remember what happened, why that empty net goal happened for the goals?
I don't. I probably tried to strike it from my memory, yeah.
That's because it wasn't on TV. And they didn't talk about it.
Oh!
So the reason that it took the Ontario Reign so long to set up that extra man at the end was because Troy Grosinick was heading towards the bench. He fell on his own skate and fell face first onto the ice.
Oh, Troy, no.
Yeah.
No.
So that's something that you're not going to hear anywhere else. But yeah, that's why it took so long.
And now
you know. I didn't text that to you, did I?
No, you didn't.
That's right. I was saving it for the podcast to hear your response.
Oh, that's so sad.
I'm sorry.
Poor Troy. It reminds me of a couple years ago in the Frozen Four, the lead up to it or whatever. It was St. Cloud State, and it was a Kings prospect in net, David Rennick, who St. Cloud had dominated that season to the point where they basically never had to worry about playing with the goalie pooled because they just won, you know, all of their games, basically. Not all of them, but they won enough of their games that it didn't matter. And so they were behind and they needed a goal to be able to continue on with the tournament. And there's just this enormous miscommunication between Rennick and net and the coaching staff on the bench of trying to pull him. And he got like halfway across the ice and then play started coming the other way. And he tried to like dive back and it was just bad. St. Cloud lost the game. And afterwards they said, listen, we don't know that we've ever actually pulled him this season. So no one knew what to do. And it was just one of those like, oh, the most tragic empty net goal of just a goalie just flat on the ice, nowhere near the net.
Eating it.
That is it for today. Tomorrow we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the Reign in their recent games. And of course, we'll talk about the Sharks, because we have to, because they're the next team we play. That is coming up on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Los Angeles Kings. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Jason's on Twitter at StimpyJD if you want some Gulls content, some Ducks content, and some Reign content. You can get a little bit of everything there. Locked On Anaheim Ducks is, of course, available wherever you get your podcasts, same as Locked On Los Angeles Kings. Go follow us on your favorite podcast app of choice. Find this show on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. And of course, make sure you come back tomorrow and all week. Well, that's the end of the week. But, you know, every day for more Kings content here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.